Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score and not just kidding. Football.
Afternoons on the Score.
Thank you so much for hanging out here with us today on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. He's Spiegel. I'm Holmes. We got you until 6 o'clock. Yesterday, before the show ended, you know, our guys did a great job yesterday. You know, Tanny saying, hey, there's going to be Billy sound about all of the trade stuff with Zach LaVine. We should hustle to get that on the air.
Yeah, and Shane got in touch with Cody, and Cody hustled on our behalf and worked it all the way through to the guys.
So we listened to Billy Donovan kind of talk about where things stand with the Bulls organizationally, and we were a little surprised at some of his answers. And it was also, he's always thoughtful.
Yeah.
So it was thought-provoking for us.
I think the backdrop is twofold for us, because our reaction was interesting at the time. We'll play some now and talk about it with the listeners. But, like, first of all, we just got to talk to Billy in person the other day.
And yeah, about a week and a half ago.
And we're reminded of just how thoughtful he is as a basketball lifer. A guy whose dad, I found out off the air, coached middle school teams, you know, that Billy and his brothers played on. A guy whose son is the coach of the Bulls G League team. This is just he's a gym rat, a basketball junkie as a player and then a coach. So there's that. And then there's just the spot. Like, our conversations the last couple of days have been, wow, it looks like the Bulls have chosen a lane. Does Billy want to be a part of this? Do they want Billy to be a part of this? So there was a lot of anticipation for what he was going to say yesterday.
With the thought being that there was evidence that while in Oklahoma City, he did not want to be a part of a rebuild. He pushed back against that yesterday. He was like, no, that's not at all how I felt about it. And I don't know if that's true or not.
When we talk about, like, rebuild, retool, whatever word you want to use, that's all I've been a part of. Like, I took over a program at Florida that had two straight losing seasons, and my first 2 years were losing seasons. Most of the time, that's what you're dealing with. You know, I'm not like, I only want to coach ready-made teams. You know, that's really never what I'm about. You know, I'm about building something. So clearly we're making a shift. I want to be part of building something.
I want him to be part of building something too. Because if we start talking about the people with power in that organization that I trust are doing their job, him, I trust that Billy's doing his job. I think Billy's a good coach. I don't know if he's great at the NBA level. I know he's great at the collegiate level, and I agree with you. Basketball lifer, gym rat, wants to share the game and wants to share the game with you.
But I thought, Lawrence, that he was at a point of his life and career where he'd want to be, you know, part of a winner and really going for it. And so when he came here and things then turned towards, hey, look at this. They're going, they went and got Lonzo, they went and got DeMar, they went and got Vooch. Like they're trying now, they're going towards somewhere. And they kept staying there, and Billy got an extension that was kind of quiet along the way.
Some would call it secret.
Yeah. You're like, well, you know, he feels them going for it. And with Michael Reinsdorf having taken over and their seeming relentless pursuit of decency, you know, like it's like, oh, well, Billy really wants to coach a winner or at least a competitive team. And now here they go, having chosen the other direction. And Billy seems locked in.
Here's where my struggle is on this, because I'm trying to look at it from a couple different angles. The angles of someone who cares about the Bulls, someone who does a talk show talking about Chicago sports, and then as someone who thinks about their own career mortality a lot, especially now that I'm knocking on the door of 50. When I look at competitive sports, I feel like the thing that gets most of the people, 99% of the people to that place of the highest league or whatever, is a feeling of competition, being a competitor, wanting, being a killer. Like, and Billy was a killer when he was a player, you know, point guard, tough guy, that sort of thing. And then thinking like, wait, does this guy not want to compete? Like, does he want to stay here knowing that they're not going to be competitive for a while longer? And he's kind of had to live through a couple of years of them really, truly not being competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one lens that I look at it through.
Mm-hmm.
The other lens that I look at it through, as a guy who's older in my business now, that you and I are at the top of the demo now. That wasn't the case when we first walked into this place.
And the top of the business, let me just say.
There's a book for you.
Yeah. we'll send Wani a book if you want to borrow his after he's done it.
We're definitely going to send it to him. We can only say that for like a couple more weeks, though. The winter book's a whole different
especially
animal.
If you consume Barrett Sports Media.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tanny.
Yeah.
For bringing up that source.
Homez.
Got to make sure your guys' egos are in check.
You know? Yeah. We got ways to go, and you're right. But I look at that and I go, okay.
Just a good teammate.
Here's a man who has done a lot in the game and can look at his career and go, oh, I've won championships. I have sent players to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I have had lottery picks in the NBA. I like basketball. They're paying me $6 million a year to coach basketball.
Mm-hmm.
What do I care if I know that I'm giving maximum effort, that I'm not leaving players that want to get developed and are capable of developing,
mm-hmm.
like I brought up to him, Io. He has helped develop Io.
He sure has.
He is clearly helping Modest.
He sure is.
Develop. I there are other players that I question whether or not they can be developed, but I don't think it's because Billy wasn't trying.
I want to respond. I want to amplify and continue the conversation. But just in case our listeners haven't heard it, let's give them some of Billy from yesterday. This is Billy talking about the spot that the Bulls are in and his role in it moving forward, not just now this year, but moving forward. Billy Donovan before the game yesterday.
I don't think you're ever going to replace the talent of Zach, you know, right now. But the thing that I get excited about or like, and the thing that I enjoy every single day is when you have a group of guys in the locker room fighting for a common cause. You know, I like that. I like the fact that, you know, how do I help Kobe White and Io and Patrick and these guys that are not rookies? You know, they're in kind of their fourth, fifth, 6 years. Josh Giddey, how do they lead? What kind of players are they going to become? What's the development of them? Forget about, like, everybody talks about the development on the court. To me, they're going to get in the gym. We're going to work. They're going to do those things. But there's so much more to it of what goes into winning in terms of the locker room and the leadership. And they're going to be in different roles right now. You know, how do I help Lonzo, who's come off an injury? You know, how does he help lead? What kind of relationships can these guys develop? How are they going to handle adversity in games? How are they going to handle the difficulty of losing a really talented player? Who's going to close games? How are we going to close games? Are these guys going to be in prep? Like, there's a lot of newness for us that a lot of guys haven't been exposed to. And the coaching part, to me, I enjoy that part of it. You know, I enjoy that piece of it. Now, going through it, it's painful because, you know, you come up short a lot of times, but there's growth in that. You know, like, it was an unbelievable opportunity for me to see the growth in Zach, you know, when he came back and just what he said to media day, you know, and just even my conversations with him. He obviously took some time and there was incredible growth. And to see that to me is very, very rewarding. I get the results. Like, I'm all about that. We're trying to win every single game. But there's also things that become very, very incredibly rewarding, especially when you have some of these conversations with a Torrey Craig. That's a very intimate conversation. Same thing with Zach and same thing with Chris. You know, intimate conversations with Lonzo, going through what he went through with his injury. You know, there's you hope in some way as a coach you can add value to them and you can add value to the experience they're going through.
Sure. Just do you factor in at all on the fact that when teams are doing what seems to be or what you're suggesting they're doing, that coaches don't often survive that because of, you know, the losses that a coach ends up accumulating on his record?
Yeah, there's no question that definitely happens, right? But I think the biggest thing for me, and I think I said this to you guys, you know, I know, you know, there was a lot of talk when the season started where, you know, we talked about what are you guys trying to do? You're trying to win. You're trying to get the pick. You're trying to, you know, what are you trying to do? And I said that the integrity of competition was there. You know, like, to me, you know, I've been fortunate enough and haven't done it at this level and would love to have to do it, right? But I've been in national championship games and have lost to been a part of national championship. Like, at the end of the day, what ends up happening, it is the relationship piece of it that matters the most to me. Because as a young coach, being a head coach at 27 or 28 years old, as you're trying to establish yourself, you get on a treadmill of just result, win, win, win. And believe me, I'm as competitive as there is, and I want to win. There's no doubt about that. But when I see Joakim Noah and I see Al Horford and I see Corey Brewer and I see David Lee and I see Brad Beal and the relational piece and the impact that we all made on each other, that to me is not going anywhere, you know? And as much as I want results, I don't want the results at a point where, you know, I really, really believe this is like, not going to step over bodies to try to get something, you know what I mean, to survive. You know what I mean? To me, it's deep. The most important thing to me is my integrity is intact in the locker room. And what I say I'm going to do, I'm going to do. And there's a level of honesty and transparency and openness there. That's really what's most important to me. And I understand it's a result-oriented business. And you're exactly right. A lot of times people don't survive that. They don't. But when I ask these guys, Kobe, what happened 2 years ago on February 4th? And who are we playing? And what, he'd go, I have no idea. If I said to him, tell me about your relationship with Zach LaVine, he could tell me exactly what that's about. What's his relationship? He can speak to that. So I get that part of it. But when you're dealing with people, it's a people business, and you're dealing with people, that's really the most important thing to me. I really mean that. And listen, this is not like the skirt. I want to win. I am competitive, and I want us to win. And the goal since I've been here has been to try to win a championship. With that being said, a lot of things ended up happening the first couple years that were probably out of all of our control with some injuries and things like that. Now there's a pivot. to me, what I want to see is what direction are we heading and how are we going to get there and what are we going to do? And that's really what I'm more focused on. And the challenge for me is like, okay, how do I help Collins, you know, and Trey and you know, Herder, how do I help those guys get acclimated? How can they implement into our team? How can I help them? You know, that's really what's important to me, you know, going forward. It's not like, I want the results because it is a result-oriented business, but we're not going to get results if we don't become a good team and there's not relationships and we're not sacrificing and playing for one another. And that's the challenge.
Lawrence, that's fascinating to me because I hear a lot of wisdom, frankly. Like I hear... And it depends on what you want to hear. It depends perhaps on your makeup, depends perhaps on your age. As you were talking about before we played the tape, we happen to be towards the top end of the demo and we can relate to perhaps growing older and realizing, man, it's the relationships that matter the most. It's those interactions that matter the most. And he's talking about an appreciation of it that could be read as wisdom and maturity, or it could be read as suddenly having a capacity for losing, a willingness to lose because of the comfort of the role, the comfort of the job, making good money. Hey, they're taking care of my son, who's the G League coach. Hey, look, this is a big city. We can go to incredible restaurants all the time. Hey, I have a great job in the league. It's a number three market.
I'm treated really well.
I have a voice in development. I have a voice in player procurement. Like, I'm a lifer. I've been a coach my whole life. This is a great place to grow older and be a coach. So I think there's some ear of the beholder here in how you're actually hearing it. And because of my respect for the dude, to me, I'm hearing more of the wisdom and the maturity part that comes with age in the business. But I understand those who do not hear it that way.
I find the content of what he's saying to be very honorable. I have a lot of similar feelings about the field that we're in, the other thing that I do when I'm not here. I had a great morning this morning because I got a consult on a podcast today. Someone was like, hey, can you walk me through some of this process? And I was like, great. Spent 30 minutes talking with someone who's really smart about the podcast game. I understand it. But then there's a part of me that's like, man, you seem real comfortable. And considering how fans feel about the Bulls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see this not sitting well with a lot of fans.
There's a part of me that's like, man, everyone is very comfortable with it just being like this and just kind of making the best out of it. I think Billy is making the best out of it, and he is finding the great, finding the good in, we're not going to win, but I really like developing players.
Well, because that's the gig, and he does love that part of it. Like, he's honest about loving that part of it. But it is striking to look at the career record of Billy Donovan and see just how few seasons he's had of being under 500. I mean, in college, two winning years at Marshall as a coach, the two losing years at Florida that he mentioned, and then 16 winning years at Florida. One losing year at Florida, and then he was done. So three total losing years, bracketing 16 great years at Florida. And then in the NBA, he didn't have an under 500 season until he came to Chicago.
Yep.
And he had one under 500 season, then a good season of 561 where they made the playoffs, and then three more under 500 seasons. He's never lost to this level. So is he suddenly showing that expanded capacity for losing because of the comfort? Or is he wise enough to embrace the good parts of it, which are there? And a lot of people his age don't get to keep doing it. Some of his colleagues don't get to keep doing these kind of jobs.
And what I think may have happened if situations were different. I think if college sports was like it was 5 years ago, perhaps we see Billy go back to college basketball.
That's a really good point.
and say, you know, guys, like, we're not building a winner here. We're stuck in limbo.
I want to go win somewhere.
I'll go and win a division title, a conference title.
Sure.
Like this.
Because he could have all of the parts that he's talking about that he enjoys about college or enjoys about development. He could have all of that on the college level. But these days now, like you're talking about, you got to recruit three times a year.
These guys have made it very clear. Billy talked about it earlier in the year, too, about not really liking how college athletics is evolving and maybe not wanting to do that and figuring, well, if it's going to be as professionalized, I might as well stay here where I'm the coach. I'm making great money.
Yeah.
My son's set up. Why would I go chase all of this stuff that doesn't seem as fun as it was when I left college basketball?
Yeah, and I think you hear some of that in him saying, like, well, I'm still getting to do the thing that I love to do, and I'm also getting to do it on this level. I wonder if fans see it that way or the other way, like where the ears of the beholder are with our listeners. And I wonder if Billy is going to start to get any ire about the Bulls rebuild or accepting the middle like they did, because I think he's avoided it for the most part.
Because I think people hear him and they know he loves the game. He's really smart. And you hear how much the development aspect is part of it. It's just that when everything around you is like that, and you, I would understand a fan being like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So instead of speaking for them,
let's ask him,
why don't we allow you to speak for yourself? How did you hear this? Did you hear it as him being contemplative about where his life is right now and you all right with it? Or do you like, I don't know, I'm not feeling this. It feels kind of like a loser's lament. 312-644-6767 is the number. You can text us. You can call us. We'll take your phone calls. If you would also like to jump up into the chat, you can do that too. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Your reaction to what you're hearing Billy Donovan say as a Bulls fan, as a basketball fan. We'll take your phone calls next here on The Score.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Going home.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
I know that's right. That's Stacey King.
The friends of the program are my friends, and they are friends for life.
Afternoons on The Score.
I want to thank Chicago. I spent 8 years there. The organization grew my family there. You know, grew up as a man there as well. So there's no love loss or bad blood there. It's just, you know, you have to understand business. And, you know, I've got to know that over my tenure in the career of the NBA. But super excited. I'm back here on the West Coast. I'm 45 minutes from my house in Newport. So, you know, I know a couple guys on the team. Obviously, DeMar couldn't stay away from me for more than 3 months. So,
that's a good way to open up if you're Zach LaVine.
That is a hell of a line out of Zach. That's fun. Good luck to him in Sacramento. Fascinating week in the NBA rolls on, and we're reacting and letting you react to the comments from Billy Donovan that we played for you last segment. Listening to a guy who's a basketball lifer. Is he comfortable in his position, or is he embracing the good with maturity and wisdom? Lots of textures coming in on the topic.
Yeah, there are a ton of them. This text from the 815 says, the issue is not with Billy. AK and Eversley have had more than enough time to turn this around and have nothing to show for it. I have no clue what the plan is.
Yeah, that's fair. So how much of that do you assign to Billy?
This 773 texter says, Billy Donovan reaction, same dialogue before exit in OKC. He's a classy guy, but the subtext is, I can't do anything with these guys. Why isn't he deciding the direction this franchise goes in?
It's interesting. How about this one? This franchise has had horrible luck choosing coaches since Phil Jackson was driven out of town. The other franchise, owned by this family, jumped the gun at the end of 2020 in firing their manager. Maybe it would behoove all involved to retain the coach who would have multiple job offers if he were to leave the Bulls. That goes back to your point, Lawrence, of like, who are you going to trust among Billy and Acme? Like, if you had to trust one of these guys,
it would be Billy.
100%. So if Billy's going to say, yeah, I can use this guy, I can use that guy, I can use this guy, go ahead and get rid of these guys. At a moment where you're getting rid of these guys, yeah, I'm glad his voice is here in that regard.
312-644-6767 to Wendell, who is now on Spiegel and Holmes. Hello, Wendell. You're on the score.
Hey, guys. Love listening to you guys. You guys are great. Every texter you had is absolutely right. You got Billy Donovan, who's a great coach, but you're not giving him anything to work with. You got a good star with a bunch of mids, and now you've traded your star, so you got a bunch of mids. How's he going to win with that?
He's not. He's not, at least for a couple years, but he's going to withstand the years, and maybe they get lucky in this lottery. Maybe they get lucky in next year's lottery.
Or maybe they got good with the drafting of Modis.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to believe in what we're trying to accomplish, look at the growth of this young man through 60 games.
Is that the best draft pick of the Acme era?
I mean, Io's pretty good.
As a second-round pick, that's a real good pick.
To find an NBA starter.
Yeah. But if you found a guy at 11, if you got lucky, or you found a guy at 11 who could be one of these other guys, I mean, I'm not saying he's SGA, but that's a 10 pick. Not saying he's Halliburton, but that's a guy who's
11, right?
11, something like that. You know, like sometimes, you know, it's about time the Bulls found one. They've had a lot of bad sevens and eights and such. So, you know, he's not going to win, but he's going to spend his time well while they're in a rebuild, and there's value there, that's for sure.
Let's go out to Calumet Park and Barry. Hey, Barry, you're on the score.
Hey, guys, love your show. I'm in full agreement with the last caller and also the texters. Man, this is crazy, man. We're in basketball hell. They get stuck. And what Billy Donovan said, okay, it was cool, but it has nothing to do with the winning part. I get tired of, by the time April rolls around, we watching everybody else playing the playoffs except us, since Michael Jordan. Help me out here, bros. This is horrible.
Well, that's why I'm like, what is it that drives you? And is it okay if what drives him is development? And at the professional level,
yeah,
a lot of people would say no.
Yeah, I know, but it's
But I understand where he's coming from. I found this comfortable place, and I like what I do. I'm going to stay. As long as they're going to keep paying me, I'm going to keep coming in, doing my jobs to the best of my ability, try and develop whatever players that they give me. So why should I leave? I guess it's a very nuanced point of view.
It's a zoomed out point of view. Like, you were talking about your broadcast life and teaching life. Let me talk about it from a perspective of a musical life. I have tons of friends who are musicians in this town. And you build and you craft a musical life that has a component of performing and wanting to be a star. And at some point, maybe you become a teacher and you have students in your basement, or you have students at a university or at a high school. And oh, by the way, you find other bands that can sustain you where you play. And maybe you're not going to be a superstar and make it big and get to the Grammys, but you're going to have a musical life where you get to play music with people your whole life. And all of a sudden you're in your 50s or your 60s and you're like, man, look at this. I'm actually having a pretty damn good time. I'm able to sustain myself. I got a family. Maybe you fortunately married a woman that is a teacher and has health care or something like that. I know a ton of that exact...
That dynamic.
Oh, man, that exact thing, you know? But you have built a musical life. Billy has built a basketball life. Who did he say were his guys when he was a high school senior as a point guard in New York? Kenny Smith. Kenny Smith has built a basketball life. He's not coaching. He's got a cushy TV job.
And Kenny Smith has two rings.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But he didn't get into coaching. Mark Jackson was the other comp. The other guy was a senior when he was a senior in New York City. Mark Jackson chased rings. Then he did media. Then he went back to chasing rings. I don't even know what Mark Jackson's doing right now.
I think he's still doing media, but...
But you know what I mean? Like, this is, and some guys end up in media, some guys end up in coaching, some guys end up as a GM.
Some guys end up like artists, or is that one guy ends up as an artist, Joakim Noah? Like,
right. But so who knows what El Joe's going to do the rest of his life? He might, I don't know if he'll find himself in coaching. Maybe not.
I don't think so. I don't think he has to. And you talk about someone's life to envy. Joakim Noah's life is one that you go, man,
yes.
Look at that.
I hear you.
With all of the things that he was exposed to
sure.
as a youngster,
uh-huh.
and he seems to have taken all of that to heart, he found something that he really liked, and he played 100% all the time.
Look at Jay Wright, who's a similar age to Billy, right? Jay Wright, you know, went up through the ranks, Raleigh Massimino's assistant and then head coach of Villanova, won a bunch. And now is bailed and is doing whatever the hell he wants. Like, unequivocally, you look at Billy Donovan's life at 59, that man has built himself a hell of a musical life. A basketball life.
Well, yeah, as you put yourself into that story, I see there.
My friends.
Just your friends.
Well, I mean, mine too.
No, yours too. Absolutely.
Yeah, man,
yours too.
I wanted to be a rock star.
Well, as I always said, great basketball is like a great jam in a band. You know what I mean? When everyone's feeling the groove.
Yes, Caddy.
Feel the groove.
Yes.
Like this, y'all.
You made that mistake.
Yeah, man. Exactly right. Like, oh, dude, Zach's playing a guitar solo.
And basketball's like jazz, yeah. man.
Well, remember, I always used to say that Zach and DeMar were like two lead guitar players in the same band, both trying to like impress each other with their chops, and they would trigger each other and they'd stop playing like a team and like, I'm soloing. No, I'm soloing. You know?
It's the scene in Mo Better Blues.
Which one? Which scene?
Where Denzel's character and Wesley Snipes' character have solos and they both like go crazy and the rest of the band is like, what is going on?
That's exactly it. I forgot that. That's a great
call. I saw that movie this past weekend. It's such a good movie.
Such a good movie.
That's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie.
Daniel Norris loves that movie.
Out to Gurney and Vince. Hey, Vince, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What's up, man?
So I won't, beat the dead horse of agreeing with the other callers and texters. So instead, I'll ask a question. To piggyback off of what Speak said about the music life, are you going to be a star or are you just going to be a musician who irons out a career?
Yeah.
Is Billy Donovan, I feel like when he was first hired as the Bulls or on the Bulls, he was kind of billed as this guy who's going to help turn it around, which kind of implied that he's going to be this star coach. But now it seems like he's really more of a stopgap guy. I think it was mentioned that he kind of had the same press conference when he was at OKC. And based on the way he was talking, it seems like he wants to be a coach of like a team that's just about there and all they need is the coach to bring it all home versus vice versa, where they need a coach and now they're going to go get all this talent. So I just wonder what you guys think. Is he really a star coach or like this, you know, guy who has it all down, or is he just the stopgap coach who is going to get you through those tough years? And then as the team really starts to come together, the draft pick starts to hit, you know, maybe you get a couple real good veteran players. Now you go get another guy to bring it all home, because it sounds like he's prepping everybody to, you know, get us all ready for him to not be here, because he's saying, well, I don't really know what the plan is. I don't really know what's going on. I just know that I got it pretty good and it's been great here so far. It's like, well, that's great. But if you don't know the plan, are you really the guy who should be here going forward? So I'm just curious how much you guys
think. Great call.
It's a great call. Agreed.
I think Billy is a really good coach. Like, when I watch Bulls games, I haven't been mad because of strategy. You know, there have been only a few times where I've been like, I didn't like that Billy did this. I didn't like this out-of-bounds play. I didn't like this substitution in that moment. There hasn't been a ton of that.
But there also
hasn't been a ton of winning.
No, but I was mad at him at times about not going harder on Zach, not coaching harder on some people. You know, like the benching of Patrick Williams. I mean, hell, man, that's years too late, in my opinion. Like, I would have had more.
Not if it goes with what the front office thinks is the direction of the franchise,
And also, Billy is a player's, like, players like playing for Billy. And there's a currency to that. You keep working. You kid. And this franchise needed somebody that the players like to play for. I think it's a really good call because most guys, most lifers in basketball don't end up winning titles, and they will build something, and they'll get to a certain point. And then if a team loses in the playoffs one year, look at the NBA, man. It happens quick sometimes. Yes. Like Michael Malone, who won in Denver, super rare that a lifer like that actually is the guy that finishes a job and gets a title. And then he gets to stick around for a while after that.
A texter mentioned Pop, and I'm like, look, Pop won titles, y'all.
Yeah, he did. But Texter's right that Pop was enjoying just kind of developing these last 6-7 years.
But that's a guy who's at the end.
Yeah.
Like, at the absolute end of his career. You wouldn't think that Billy would be at the end, would you?
No. But sometimes the end comes for you.
That's true.
I don't know that it's the end, but I think it's... That's why I go back to the capacity for losing. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, here we go.
That's what I don't like. Shout out to Chief Keith. When we come back, let's talk a little Super Bowl. And let's talk about a sliding door proposition. What if this player on one of the Super Bowl teams was wearing a Bears uniform? It could have happened. Next, here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It's LeVar Ball.
What's good? Triple B, big baller staff. You guys go do your thing. I love your staff.
Afternoons on The Score.
What's the latest? Just on the... Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm.
Which I don't know if I'll make a couple of calls. I don't even know if that's gonna happen, but
I'm gonna have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that. As I've told you, just being up. I have been around enough players. But he's the most popular player we have by far.
That from Hard Knocks. The offseason one, Joe Shane and the Giants. It wasn't good then, and it's aged even more poorly.
Sorry.
You're good. Let it fly.
I was just feeling that.
I've lost Lawrence to the Boogie.
Sorry.
I've lost O's.
One of my nicknames is El Boogie, so.
To the Boogie. For the record, I think you're the only co-host I've ever lost to the Boogie. Like, I don't remember another.
You probably lost Jay to the Boogie occasionally.
Maybe. I guess.
And really, really Parkins.
Well, Danny.
That's a guy that.
Danny belongs to the Boogie.
He referred to national television as the Boogie. So in that sense, yes.
He did.
Go to the Boogie. I'm leaving in 5 minutes.
Right. And the Wilmette Chamber of Commerce also was the Boogie.
And to be fair, while it might not be the Boogie, how many times was Mac in here playing air guitar or air drums?
Oh, I lost him to rock and roll. I genuinely did, actually. He quit, and then he went over to the rock and roll station.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's a good point. Anyway, Saquon almost came here?
Yeah, apparently that's what he was saying, and our guy JP was on it.
Well, this was Saquon. First, we want to hear Saquon talking about how he almost came to the Bears. Right, Tanny? That's right, my bad. So Saquon almost came to the Bears as a free agent in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, me and my family literally, you know, had a sheet and did pros and cons, and the only con about Philly was I might get some slack because I played in New York. So it was a no-brainer for me. The talent that we have here, the going against those guys, just hearing stories about the organization, and then most importantly, the big boys up front.
What you say?
The Bears. Pretty damn close, let's say that. It was pretty close.
Can you imagine if instead of DeAndre Swift, the Bears signed Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, it feels different, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Because the difference in quality of running back is vast. More vast than I knew before the season began.
Your offense is probably different. It's a different design for Caleb Williams because you have Saquon Barkley.
It should be. It should be. You think Shane Waldron would have been smart enough to lean on Saquon Barkley? You think he would have been oh, wow, I got a really great running back. I should do this.
I hope so, but you never know.
You never know. But just some of the plays where DeAndre just kind of dove straight and got as little as he did, Saquon would have, with patience and time and a nose for yardage.
So great, man.
He's so damn good.
I hope he has a big game. I don't want this, even if the Eagles lose, I don't want it to be without Saquon having had his say in that game.
That's a good thought. Let's do a lot more on Saquon in the game in the days, like tomorrow and Friday, the days leading up. But I'm told we have a Jared Payton story, like you were talking about, where he takes it even further about how Saquon was close to being a Bear.
Yeah, Saquon and I are, we do. We've had a relationship since he was when he was the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award nominee two years ago. Him and I started talking, and I didn't want to throw out too much because he's still in New York, and I knew there were some issues there, and I was like, man, you know what? Man, we really would love to have you in Chicago. You know that, right? And he was sitting there. We're at a table. I'll never forget this, and I tweeted it out. He's like, man, you know, I wouldn't mind Chicago. And I go, man, you know what? We could I was telling him we could get his number. I was like, you know, like, that's Matt Sui's old number. And he was like, nah, you know, I would be, if I came to Chicago, I'd probably be in the 30s. Because, you know, I mean, I want to give some, you know, I want to be, you know, close to your dad's number. And I was like, that's what's up. And I'm like, can I put this out there? And he was, like, really cool with it. So I did. I posted a picture of us together. So the fact is, and I have talked to him throughout the last couple of years, and he was close. So he was very, very close. And it was a... I don't think that's it's tough, but when you think about the way that things are constructed, I think he looked at it that way. When you look at the offensive line and how that was structured and the opportunity, the money that was being offered, I think it made sense for him to go to Philly and just look what he did this entire season. But to what Patrick was saying, the question that Patrick asked and his answer definitely can say that is very true.
Man. So I think he made a pretty good choice with the offensive line in Philly.
You're real good. And the opportunity and the running game that's right there with him with Jalen Hurts.
Oh, goodness.
Too. Like that helps to make him a very dangerous weapon.
Just the way they play, man.
Their whole mentality.
AJ Brown blocks.
But a play like if you
Jalen Hurts blocks, Saquon blocks.
If you listen to what people have said, Saquon was more than just yards. Like, there's a leadership element that took place with him that maybe changes things a little bit. And there are folks who are like, well, that means they would have just been 7-10. And guess what? You would have been ecstatic with 7-10.
Ecstatic? I don't know.
This is growth. Look at Caleb coming in the first year, 7 wins.
No.
10 wins next year, baby.
The flu still would have found a way to screw the pooch in several of those games. And the pooch wouldn't have been pleased, and neither would the fans. You know?
Nor the flus.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you're the one doing that,
they still got that house.
The pooch?
No, well,
the
I mean...
The flus.
The flus.
I think that's true.
They still
the bees,
got that?
They still got the bees going on back there?
That's got to be nice to have it like that.
Yeah, I guess so. But Saquon is such a...
I heard they were selling it.
A pro and a leader and like an undeniable greatness. I wonder if it would have changed things at all. It might have.
Yes, Shade?
I can tell you per a source, there's, quote, no way they're ever selling that house.
I would say that that's probably false.
Per source?
A lot of buzz around that.
That they're never selling the house? They're going to sell it, even if it's not this year. They're real selling that
buzz.
House.
Real estate buzz.
Love that guy.
I was talking
about
the
bees. I loved
him
with Johnny B. He was great.
Yeah,
real estate buzz?
Yeah, he was great.
Good side guy.
Yeah, they put him on every once in a while. Look, they're not going to sell the house. They're just going to stay up there and get booed by everybody who drives by. Boo! That can't be a good life to have up there.
Oh, no, it's a beautiful house.
It is a beautiful house.
And they have all those bees.
Apiary, right? You got all of it.
Why would you leave that place if you just have an unlimited supply of honey? You know, something you use all the time.
Yeah, I think the thing is, after that Thanksgiving game, because the bees were watching, they all stung Eberflus. They all stung.
I don't think so. I think he was the bee whisperer.
Maybe. Hey, bees! What's up?
He's got a nickname for every bee.
Every single bee.
Coco!
Stinger! What's up, Stinger? He called everyone Stinger. That's the problem.
Hey, are you Stinger? No? You're Coco?
Honey guy! What's going on? Hey, Stripey!
I'm going to call that one Honey Badger.
Hey, get over here, Wings!
Come here, Wings! Hey, Yellow and Black! Come here, Yellow and Black.
Black and Yellow probably would have worked a little bit better.
I don't know.
Wiz Khalifa is one of the bees' names.
You know what it is. The yellow jumped out of me. Hey, Stinger 2.
And Stinger 3. Let's talk rebuild in the next segment.
Right. My wife's very involved in this for some reason.
Yeah, we're going to be getting DMs for that.
Honeymaker. Come here, Honeymaker.
Let's talk about rebuilds when we come back because there's too many of them going on.
I'm just going to keep naming bees, but go ahead.
Well, do that during the break, and people see you for actually a couple extra seconds on Twitch. And then we can come back and find out what you came up with next here on The Score.